Good afternoon. Meeting of the Ways and Means will come to order. Clerk will note the roll. There is a quorum. Members, we have the minutes of the May 10th meeting before us. Representative Carlson moves approval of the minutes. Any corrections, additions, or changes? Seeing none, all in favor of approving the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. The minutes are approved. Members, we've got three items of business today. The first one is Senate File 1564, if Representative Johnson would come forward. And the chair will move that Senate File 1564 be referred to the General Register. Representative Johnson, welcome to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. The Senate file corresponds with House File 1636, which is a memorial highway for a firefighter who was killed in the city of Cambridge. On Tuesday, May 24th, 2011, was a normal day, a normal Tuesday in the city of Cambridge. Around 6 o'clock that evening, the fire pagers went off reminding the firefighters of their training. That night, they were doing training on high-level rescue. Towards the end of training, Chip Imker wanted to do one more trial run through the training to be better. He loved to be proficient at what he does. Unfortunately, that last time, we don't know, still to this day don't know what happened, but something happened and Chip fell about 6 feet, landing on his head with the injuries he sustained and ended up taking his life. A little bit about Chip. He's only been on the fire department for 18 months. But those of you who understand fire departments know the amount of training that they go through. They have to have firefighter one, firefighter two, some first responder and other training classes. Chip was able to do this. Normally it takes at least 2 years to get this done. He was done with it in 18 months. He had a lot of dedication to his community, not just as a firefighter, but as a wrestling coach, and also in the Minnesota National Guard. He had two sons with his wife, Kristen. Both Hayden and Connor were young at the time, and now they're much older and understand, and they are ecstatic to be able to have a memorial highway in their dad's name. I've talked with the city of Cambridge. They understand that there's some local cost to this, and they have no problem with that. And with that, I'll open any questions that the committee might have.
Anyone have any questions for Representative Johnson? Well, thank you, Representative Johnson. Do you have any other things you wish to say?
I would love to have this bill on the floor. To go through it, talked to Kristen, and they are planning to be here when the bill is on the floor.
Okay. Well, thank you, Representative Johnson, and with that, I'll renew my motion that Senate File 1564 be referred to the General Register. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Senate File 1564 is referred to the General Register.
Thank you.
Hey, members, the next item on the agenda is a proposed change to the budget resolution. And I think that you should have that in your packet. You should have a spreadsheet of the resolution as proposed by the amendment as well. You should have the resolution 01-3 that has been adopted and then subsequently amended. And I know there's actually a couple of amendments. But I'll first move the A-12 amendment, and members, the CS-RES-01-A-12 amendment basically would increase the target for the Capital Investment Committee so that they could accommodate the $800 million bonding bill that's going to be before us today, as well as approximately $3.3 million of general fund spending that is within it. And members, I guess I'd stand for questions on the A-12 budget resolution amendment. Representative Houseman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I would just simply observe, since we already hear hints that tomorrow's bill, just as the 600 in committee wasn't the real bill, and the 800 tomorrow isn't the real bill, since we are so close to the end of session, I wish we were passing a budget resolution that finally defined what that final product is going to be and begin to do some work on that.
Well, Representative Hausman, I guess I'm not the bonding chair, but as far as I know, the $800 million bill tomorrow is the real bill, and I imagine that there will be, of course, negotiations and conference committee, but I don't know that maybe the bonding committee chair can talk more about it, but I certainly am believing that this is the bill, or at least a representation of the bill after all the amendments that would eventually be taken up on the floor. Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Hausman. Of course, this is the real bill as far as tomorrow is concerned. And as the chair just said, everyone in this room is well aware that when a bill leaves one body to go to conference with another body, that likely changes will be made. And in that sense, then, it'll be the real bill when it comes back from the conference committee.
Other discussion of the A-12 amendment. Representative Carlson.
Mr. Chairman, I had filed an amendment to the amendment, and I have decided I'm going to withdraw that amendment, but I did want to comment that there was or is left on the bottom line enough where if the majority party would have been willing, we could have put together a larger bonding bill, and some people might be quite surprised as to how much larger it could have been, but I think the die is pretty well set for this evening, but there was enough left on the bottom line where we could have generated an additional $167 million.
Hey, Representative Carlson, I'm sorry, I didn't look at your amendment close enough. I just didn't realize it was an amendment to the amendment. I thought it was just
it's an amendment to the amendment. We were going to take it up, but I'm withdrawing it. But I did want to point out that there could have been an alternative, but with the comments that were being made, I can see that the road that you're on, and you are in the majority. So we could have made things better, but I withdraw it.
Okay. Well, thank you, Representative Carlson. I do again want to say it was not my intent to bypass your amendment to the amendment. It's been a busy day for me, and I guess I was thinking it was just another amendment to the budget resolution that we're going to be acting on next, but thank you for withdrawing it. Any other discussion to the A-12 amendment? I see no discussion. All in favor of the A-12 budget resolution amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Motion prevails. The A-12 budget resolution amendment is adopted. Okay. Representative Erdahl. Chairman Erdahl moves that House File 892 be referred to the General Register. And Representative Erdahl, I know there are some amendments. Do you want to take the DE5 amendment first?
Yeah, let's just do the amendments.
Okay.
Do the DE5 first.
So Representative Erdahl moves the DE5 amendment. And then I think there are some amendments to the amendment. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, which one would you like to take first? A-46?
Yeah, let's do it in order, A-46, 47, 51, 55.
Okay, Representative Erdahl moves the A-46 amendment to the amendment. This looks to me like a technical amendment. Representative Erdahl, do you want to further describe the amendment?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, you're right. It is a technical amendment that just inserts the number for the bond sale schedule that is currently blank.
Okay. Members, is there a discussion of the A-46 amendment to the amendment? Seeing no discussion, all in favor of the A-46 amendment to the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. The 846 amendment to the amendment is adopted. Next, Representative Erdahl, I guess in order, the 847 amendment, is that yours?
The 847, yes.
Okay, Representative Erdahl moves the 847 amendment to the amendment, and Representative Erdahl, could you describe that amendment?
Another technical amendment that modifies a set-aside under the Bowser Wetland Replacement Program to delete the specific dollar amount.
Discussion to the 847 amendment to the amendment. Seeing no discussion, all in favor of the 847 amendment to the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. The 847 amendment to the amendment is adopted. What's next, Representative Erdahl?
A51.
Representative Erdahl moves the A51 amendment to the amendment. Representative Erdahl, can you describe that amendment?
Yes, once again, a technical correction that fixes a typo in the general fund debt service amount for the $35 million in new housing infrastructure bonding authority for MHFA.
Okay, any questions or discussion on the A51 amendment to the amendment? Seeing none, all in favor of the A51 amendment to the amendment, say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion prevails. The A51 amendment to the amendment is adopted. Representative Erdahl.
A55.
Representative Erdahl moves the A55 amendment. Can you describe that amendment?
Once again, a technical correction. This one fixing a drafting error.
Any discussion to the A55 amendment to the amendment? See no discussion. All in favor of the A55 amendment to the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. The A55 amendment to the amendment is adopted. Representative Erdahl, do you have one more? Okay.
We can do it later, or there's one other that I would accept.
Okay. Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Mr. and Chair Erdahl, the A59 amendment.
Okay.
I'll move the A59 amendment. Members, what this is the as part of the BDPI program. This amount is currently being carried in the jobs bill. This does not increase the appropriation or reduce the appropriation in either the jobs bill nor the bonding bill. It just has that set aside moved to the bonding bill.
Okay. Is there Representative Garofalo moves the A59 amendment to the DE5 amendment. Is there a discussion to that amendment, to the amendment?
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to make it clear. Representative Garofalo, this does not take from any other project.
That is correct. Mr. Chairman, Representative Garofalo, that is correct.
Okay. Any other discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of the A59 amendment to the amendment, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. The A59 amendment to the amendment is adopted. Okay, Representative Erdahl, that completes all of your amendments to the amendment. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And I think there are some other amendments, but maybe at this point it would be appropriate, since you're through with your amendments to the amendment, Representative Erdahl, if you would present your DE5 amendment, and then we can act on any other amendments. Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and what this does is increases the bill basically by $200 million. The original bill we put out on the spreadsheet, $600 million, it's been increased by $200 million, and it primarily addresses the needs in the bill that was passed and then really not passed at the end of last session. Now, we know that this is not a bonding year, so essentially what we have is a makeup year for what we didn't quite get done last time. But the first year of the biennium, of course, is traditionally an emergency year. And there are some emergencies, I think, that we've identified and addressed them by including them in the bill. So there are a few new items in here. For example, the Billsby Dam, the Andover Waste Removal Site, and for some reason I forget, what's the other one? and the Veterans Trust Bridge. So they are new. Otherwise, everything else, I believe, was in the previous bill. We don't have cash in this bill.
Oh.
We may at some point, but as of today, we don't have any cash. The bill is very heavy on the infrastructure. We have $248 million in roads, bridges, railroad crossing grades and separations. We have $114,963,000 with the PFA and water-related, $106 million in asset preservation. It's $800 million. It's a good bill. In a lot of years, that's about average, I think, for what is in a second-year bonding bill, about $800 million. I think the first year average is about $250 million. Certainly, when you had a nearly a billion-dollar bill that this is being modeled from, there have been some reductions. And as we go through the rest of the process, conference committee and negotiations, I would anticipate that there will be some adjustments to this bill. So I don't know if you want me to go through category by category, but I think if you have questions along those lines, I can do that. But I think I've hit the highlights for what we are doing. I should say, in housing, we do have $10 million for public housing rehabilitation. We do have some appropriation bonds for, I believe, $35 million for housing, affordable housing. And that is another highlight. We have also in employment economic development, about $45 million there. The Minnesota Security Hospital, Phase 2 at St. Peter, at $70,255,000 is an important piece added to this bill. We also put in back into it the Metropolitan Regional Parks and the Metro Orange Line bus rapid transit. The St. Louis River area of concern, we added, it's now $25,400,000. This is in the Duluth area. And I think those are the highlights of those that are of significant amounts of money. Under higher education, we have $30 million to the University of Minnesota for Heber and $28,267,000 for the UMD chemical building. I don't think we added anything to the Minnesota State Colleges and Universities at this point. So with that, I think ready to answer questions, consider amendments, whatever.
Okay, and members, I guess if someone wants a more exhaustive walk through the bill in terms of the spreadsheet, we can certainly do that, but you do have the spreadsheet in front of you, and I guess the first person I see wanted to ask questions is Representative Wilginius. So Representative Wilginius.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Rinaldo, the thing I was listening for was the solving of the freeway landfill problem. I didn't hear that, the freeway landfill problem. I know it wasn't in a bill last year, and just reading the tea leaves, you do not consider it an emergency. So that is a problem that we will put off until next year.
Representative Riddle.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Representative Wilginius, again, those things that when the last bill came to the front quickly and easily, we were somewhat limited in what we were considering as emergencies, but certainly others, I would suggest as we go forward, talk to me more about this one. And I'm not precluding that it could not be included as we go through the process. Do you recall the amount?
Representative Gaines.
Well, PCA projects that the cleanup of that landfill will be over $70 million. It's been hanging on for a long time.
$70
million? $70 million.
It looks like a good thing to think about more seriously next year.
obviously the whole thing would not have to be appropriated. I mean, would be spent at once, but in order for PCA to take over the liability, the whole amount would have to be appropriated in this bonding bill. So, I mean, I'm just asking.
Well, I appreciate you bringing that to my attention. Again, next year we operate from a clean slate, and this year we're, again, as I said, making up for what wasn't done before in a non-bonding year.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to the point of the freeway landfill and what's going on there, it's an extremely complicated situation. I do know that there are negotiations going on to try and figure out just exactly what to do with that at this point, and hopefully we can come to some sort of resolution in the not-too-distant future, and hopefully it's not next year, but I just wanted to have that on the record.
Representative Pawlowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Rudolph, as I understand the Moon State bonding request, that they will go under a reauthorization this year, probably sometime after July 1st. So when we get to next year, are we going to take a look at the order of projects you had left behind, or are we going to take the Moon State request and then reauthorize everything? How is that going to work?
Representative Rudolph.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Representative Pawlowski. Frankly, that's a question I had not considered. I would certainly be open to suggestions and, do what seemed to be in the best interests of those participating.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Pawlowski.
Mr. Chair, Representative Rudolph, it's a critical question in the sense that some of these projects are already in the millions of dollars of not just pre-design but also pre-work. So if Moon State decides to do a reauthorization and a reordering of the pecking order, and then we have whatever's left behind here, it will be a most interesting year next year.
Mr. Chairman, Rudolph, again, Representative Pawlowski, not something that I had been confronted with in the past, but you raise some very good points. If commitments are already being made, that these should be given consideration.
Mr. Chair, I would add one other criteria to this. It also makes the projects that are already listed even more critical to move forward this year, so we don't have this dilemma going into the next cycle in 2018. You don't need to respond to that, Representative Rudolph, but I think that is a serious consideration for how this bill has to end up.
Representative Houseman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll just follow that up with a little more conversation about higher education. I think the history is higher education has usually been about a third of the bonding bill. And we're training the workforce of the future, and all those smart classrooms and laboratories become essential to that quality education. And, of course, asset preservation, $30 million for University of Minnesota and $25 billion for the entire state, Minnesota State Colleges and Universities. But the other thing, I actually had an occasion to talk to the Coalition of Greater Minnesota Cities folks at their wonderful ice cream social this last week, and I said, do those cities around the state care about their higher education institutions? And his eyes lit up, and he said, absolutely. And though you have the top four priorities, they're relatively small projects. I just thought it might be helpful if we respect the priority ranking of Minnesota State Colleges and Universities, where these, even if we didn't go all the way to the end, if we just accomplished at least a little over half of the list, and we would go to Bemidji and Rochester and Hibbing Community College and the Winona Education Village and St. Cloud State, and Mankato. Mankato, that last one, actually, I believe, is a project half-finished and not completed at this point. So you see how they go all over the state and strengthen our higher ed system. And so I will tell you that's the part of the bill. I mean, there are still a number of gaps. One of those is a regional gap that I hope we'll keep talking about, but the higher education gap is particularly keenly felt, I think.
Other discussion to the DE5 amendment as amended? Representative Carlson.
Sure, I'm looking at the printout here, and you know, one of the things that through the years I've watched closely is the HEPR, we used to call it repair and betterment, but you've got numbers, Representative Rudolph, sprinkled through the bill, but the ones that particularly jump out are on the education side because of what the requests were. And so my question, again, and I think I raised this in capital investment, but are you confident that these HEPR numbers are going to make, are we going to be able to make sure that the integrity of the buildings, because we are major real estate holders, are going to be sound? In other words, are we going to have, once this is done, leaky roofs, which will create even more damage and more cost? Tuck pointing can be important if the skin has begun to separate from some of the buildings, and that has happened to us in the past. So I'm just interested in what your confidence as the committee chair of capital investment is in these numbers here that we're going to be protecting our assets.
Representative Riddle.
Mr. Chair, Representative Carlson, well, it's certainly, you know, my intent, and I'm sure all of ours on capital investment, that the money that is appropriated be sufficient to ensure quality and lasting for the projects. I mean, we don't want to waste our money. We want to make sure that the project is done right, and that should be our goal.
And Representative Riddle, my question is, with these numbers, though, are we going to do what you just said? Are you confident,
well,
that, for example, the asset preservation of the HEPR for the University of Minnesota at $30 million is going to be adequate to at least maintain the integrity of the buildings? $25 million for Minnesota State, and I'm just going to go out looking at the first page because DNR's got asset preservation requests and so on. The Minnesota Academies, which are relatively small campuses, $2 million. I'm not sure what that $2 million is buying, or I'm not sure what their request was, but I do know that you're way below the request of the University of Minnesota and Minsky for asset preservation.
Representative Riddle.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Carlson, thank you for clarifying your question for me. We are not funding to the full extent of the HEPA request for either University of Minnesota or Minnesota State. And therefore, until the money is increased, if it is, obviously, if, and I'll just throw out a number, if they've got a third of what they asked for, then that's what they'll have to spend. There will be buildings, projects that are not addressed in this bonding bill. And hopefully they will be able to do good work with that money that we have appropriated.
And Representative Carlson.
No doubt there will be good work done with the money that is appropriated. That's not my point, but the question remains, as this bill moves forward, are we going to be investing at a level that will protect the integrity of our investment across the state of Minnesota? And the point I'm making is that if that $30 million, when all is said and done, and I just picked a couple of areas that water damage can be huge, whether you're talking about the lack of tuck pointing or if we've had buildings where the, like I said earlier, where the skin has begun to separate and you've got the leaking into the inside of the buildings, and it only gets more expensive later. And so the question and the advocacy that I'm putting forward here is that we make sure that the number in the end is high enough we're protecting those buildings from future damage. And I have been on tours. One time we were up visiting Brainerd Community College, and it happened to be a rainy day.
and there were buckets on some of the instructors' desks and so on. The roofs were leaking like crazy. I was over at Falwell Hall, and they hadn't addressed water leakage there. And you could see the damage inside, especially on the top floor. I think it's three stories or whatever the number of stories, but the damage was just huge. And it was costing us much more to protect that building than had been done earlier and done, as the chair has indicated, appropriately. So I just want to point that out. Sometimes, you know, members are strong advocates for a new building, a new addition. Heber isn't sometimes as big a grabber, if you will, for bringing home a project, but it can be just as important as anything else that you would bring home if you're protecting those assets. And that's what I want to make sure, that as the bill moves and the chair keeps saying it's going to grow, that Heber is on the table.
Okay, members, I've got Representatives Garofalo, Murphy, and Houseman on the list, but I had wanted to, after Representative Erdahl was done with his amendments, and I just hadn't realized that one of them wasn't his when I called on it, I wanted him to have a chance to present his amendment. But are there, before we go to kind of the regular discussion on the DE-5 amendment, which will be the bill, and that's kind of what we've gotten into, are there other amendments that people wish to offer? I know some of these amendments are not going to be offered, but I've got the A-44 and A-45 amendment to the amendment. Was someone intending on offering those? If not, I think what it would be appropriate to do is to just adopt the DE-5 amendment, then we would have the bill as amended before us.
Mr. Chairman,
Representative Garofalo.
It's not my amendment, but I'm wondering, the A-45 amendment I thought was fairly non-controversial, and unless I'm missing something on this. I didn't get a draft of them. I'm familiar with the project, and it's one that I don't mean to be carrying the water for the, no pun intended, for that area, but this is actually, we should be adopting this amendment. I don't know who got it.
I guess I'm not, I'm not familiar with that amendment. I'd have to ask Representative Erdahl. Representative Erdahl?
It seems like a reasonable project, but today I would rather not take it.
Okay.
We'll take a good look at this one.
All right. Does anyone have any other amendments to the amendment? Representative Houseman?
Mr. Chair, I was just going to ask, and I don't know which one now for sure it was, but there was one that I think Representative Eklund had drafted, but then wasn't going to offer, but that may have been one of the ones you offered, and I didn't know if you knew, you thought it was a technical amendment, and we can clarify it before the floor, but we're just a little confused about one of them that may not have been necessary anymore.
Representative Erdahl.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Houseman, I'm not aware of anything.
Okay.
We'll get that clarified and straightened out if we need to.
Okay. Well, then, if there are no other amendments that are going to be offered to the DE-5 amendment, I guess I'll call for a vote on the DE-5 amendment as amended so we can get the bill into the shape it needs to be. All in favor of the DE-5 amendment as amended, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails, the DE-5 amendment as amended is adopted. Okay, now we have the bill fully before us, and I guess there are, to the best of my knowledge, no other amendments. So discussion to the bill as amended, Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Chairman Erdahl, I want to thank you for your work on this. This is a good bill, but I want to remind you again that I think there's a new way, a better way to do this bill. And that better way is that we pass a balanced budget this session. We leverage lower construction costs. We leverage lower interest rates. We pass a $2 billion bonding bill this year, and then we don't come back next session. We do next year's work this year, the Do It Right, Do It Now plan, and I just want to aggressively encourage you to promote that as this bill goes forward, to pass a $2 billion bill this year, and let's just not come back next year and give Minnesotans a Christmas present early.
Representative Erdahl.
Mr. Chairman, until you got to the let's not come back next year, I thought you were sitting on the wrong side of the table. an interesting concept. It has been bantered about a little bit.
Somebody shot it down somewhere. But certainly an interesting concept.
Representative Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I was going to ask Chair Erdahl a couple of questions, maybe along the same lines as Representative Garofalo's.
You don't want to come back next year either?
I don't understand why we're delaying what it sounds like we're going to do next year when we could do it this year and when there are plenty of requests. But I'm not the chair of bonding, and I don't know who's shooting down good ideas, but I'll just leave it at that.
Okay, Representative Hausman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to speak a bit about timeline and where we are in the session, because it's starting to feel a little like last year, and we're so close to the end, and when every major budget bill plus a number of additional minor bills like Real ID still need to be negotiated and brought to the floor, the memory of that last night comes back with really very last-minute work and pressing staff to just unreasonable levels. And in that chaos, two things can happen. You run out of time, you make mistakes, or both. And we did both. And we still have a few days to get it right. But what concerns me is that at this close to the end, I just remember how well it worked. Representative Torkelson was there. He led the charge in 2015. When we sat around a table, House and Senate, Republicans and Democrats, and the governor's office, and we wrote a bill together. And when we finished, we knew we were going to take that bill to special session and pass it. And whenever I tell people about that, they sort of look wistfully, and they wish that it always happened that way, that we worked together early, and that outcomes were as good as that. And so my hope for the chair and the author of the bill is that he might have the capability of reaching out to the Senate and determining can we quickly come together, House and Senate, Republicans and Democrats, before that last hour and pass a good product. It came a long way from 600 to 800, and we are almost there. My list is getting pretty short, and it will be a good product for the state of Minnesota. But the opposite, waiting till the last minute and risking running out of time and moving so quickly through that last day, again, that mistakes are made, that particular leadership style isn't working for us very well, and it has the ability to hurt the state of Minnesota. And so I'm hoping we can still turn this around and work diligently together before the 0 hour.
Well, Representative Hausman, it seems to me like we're ahead of where we were last year. If we can pass this bill off the floor tomorrow and the Senate then passes theirs, we've still got enough days to do a traditional conference committee and come back and pass a bill that I think the great majority of people in both bodies can vote for and that the governor can sign. So I think that we, you know, it might be nice if it would have been a few days earlier than this, but I think we're on a schedule where we can make this happen. Representative Erdahl.
Well, I agree with those comments. In a conference committee, there's a lot that can be accomplished to modify this piece of legislation. So I urge folks tonight to vote for this, and we'll move us on to the next step in the process. And by the way, A47 was Representative Eklund's amendment.
Representative Carlson.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, first of all, a comment, and Representative Erdahl knows full well where I'm coming at it from because we've had conversations about that. But one of my disappointments, quite frankly, is 25% of the bill was being put together here in Ways and Means. There should have been an opportunity for more work and the utilization of what the full target, at least, which was under the forecast, $800 million in capital investment. I happen to be on that committee. I'm on this committee, so I think I'm in a position to say that there should have been more involvement by the Capital Investment Committee in putting together at least the full $800 million. And I'm not surprising Representative Erdahl because I've made those comments in the past. But I do have a question. Now, what road are we on? You've mentioned a conference committee. There's the other bill that's sitting there with the amendment being filed. So this bill we passed tonight, this one basically remains. You don't sign a sign a committee report. You just simply take up that bill that's sitting on the House floor and amend that and put that one in conference committee if you're successful in generating 81 votes. Is that the road that we're following?
Well, I should probably ask the chairman of the committee, but I imagine it may depend on a number of factors in terms of exactly what road we do follow and levels of support for the bill. But Representative Erdahl.
Mr. Chair, Representative Carlson's analysis is correct. That certainly can be the route that's taken tomorrow at this time. And, you know, Representative Carlson, just to expound a little bit more, you know, this is just such a different year in that we had this very large bill last year that we had had hearings on in the past. We had vetted through trips all over the state. And essentially, you know, what was different about this is that we were trying to put together a bill that had already passed the House one time. And, you know, certainly next year, when we're starting over with a fresh bill, I think you'll find it done in much more the traditional manner that you have been accustomed to.
Representative Carlson.
Mr. Chairman, my answer to that, and that question has come up before, but an election took place, and we have many new members of the legislature that were not here last year, and that's why I say that it should have been given more attention, at least to the $800 million level, in the Capital Investment Committee. What I'm arguing for, quite frankly, is empowering the Capital Investment Committee to have more involvement. So that's my disappointment on that that charge. 25% will be put together tonight, or it is in the process of the bill, and then the comments about it's going to grow in conference committee, so we could conceivably have a bill that comes back that has not been thoroughly going through the process beginning with the committee of origin, at least to a bigger degree. Now, on comes back from conference committee, of course, with the compromise of the Senate, there's always going to be elements in the bill that may or may not have been a part of a House bill or even a House committee hearing. That's as long as it's passed one body or the other. But I'll stop there because I've had this conversation both publicly and privately with Representative Erdahl about what I felt the role of the Capital Investment Committee should have been.
Representative Hornstein.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to comment quickly on the underfunding of the CREP program. You know, there's bipartisan support for this. We all agree that CREP is needed and it's a good program, but you know, we need $30 million, and, you know, we're taking from LCCMR and other sources to fund it. So I just want to put a pitch in for if we're going to be working on this, let's fully fund CREP and do it in this bill.
So Representative Gruskowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would just support at least a portion of Representative Garofalo's plan. I don't know what to call it. I would call it the People's Future Plan. And that's one, Mr. Chair, where we wouldn't have any bonding bill this year or next and wouldn't come back next. And, Mr. Chair, that would save us unknown millions of dollars, probably $1 billion in debt service, I'm guessing, somewhere in that neighborhood or more, over the biennium. And it would protect the people because we wouldn't be doing any more things to them next year. And it would preserve and protect the future of our kids instead of us continuing to mortgage our futures away. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Seeing no further discussion, Representative Erdahl, do you have any closing comments?
Well, I have no comment on Representative Gruskowski's opinion on that. But just as I said before, you know, let's get a bonding bill done. I mean, that's the most important thing. One way or another, people, we got to do this. And we have critical needs in the state. We have a crumbling infrastructure. We have to find a way to get this done. And I implore you to work with us to try to do it.
Seeing no further discussion then, Representative Erdahl renews his motion that House File 892, as amended, be referred to the General Register. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No.
Oh,
my God.
Motion prevails. House File 892, as amended, is referred to the General Register. Members, I don't see any other items on our agenda. And with that, we are adjourned.